is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bickney.
Ah, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bickney, and my wife, Vicky, is joining me to talk to you about how to talk to each other.
That's right.
Because we're digging in to the show now with what is at the heart of communication. Oh, you can have a hobby. You can have some kids. You can have all kinds of things in place. But if you don't know how to communicate well, if you really don't understand what God's word says about communication, you will struggle as you go on that wonderful vacation. You just won't enjoy each other.
True.
You will struggle to figure out how to parent kids together. You'll struggle to unravel your finances and get on the same page.
Everything's just going to be very hard. Yeah.
Because communication is at the heart of everything that matters most, including marriage. Who among us has not been hurt? You know, one of the most false, there's kind of little nuggets, quote, of wisdom, you know, like those Chinese fortune cookie kind of things you pull out. Some of them are pretty accurate. Some of them are absolutely wrong. And the one that is absolutely wrong is sticks and stones may break my bones, but
words will never hurt me.
Nothing could have been further from the
truth.
Whoever thought of that? If you've lived any length of time, who hasn't been hurt deep, even in marriage? My heart breaks for the number of instances that now involve physical or sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. But I tell you where far more spouses are being hurt, even though their spouse didn't lay a hand on them. Words. Mm-hmm. Words. Oh, people have been hurt by words. Who has not regretted something you've said as soon as it flew out of your mouth?
Exactly.
You wish you could reach out there and just grab those words and reel it back in, but it's done. Who hasn't been sucked into an ugly argument that felt like a tsunami?
Yeah.
I mean, we still have moments, don't we, honey, where I find myself thinking, how did we get here?
Right.
How did we get to this point today? And who hasn't wanted to seriously talk with a loved one, and yet there seemed to be no time? You're like, when would be a good time? When would be a good time? Mm-hmm. Communication matters. And so we gave you a first starting foundational component in our last show. It matters what you want before you even open your mouth to talk. And what did we say needs to be the goal of what you want every day?
Your goal must be to please Jesus.
Yeah, way to go, Vicky.
I'm trying to listen.
At least you were listening. Oh, and I hope some of you are listening and have tried to work on it.
Right.
As you wake up, maybe let that be your prayer at the beginning of the day. Lord, today, I want to please you with my words, especially. I want to please you with what I want. Mm-hmm. That's my goal. And now here we go with words. But let me give you a second component that makes a huge difference. And it reflects where we've been in the previous shows. So
does.
We won't stay here long, but listen to me. If you want communication to be healthy, if you want communication to be effective, you have got to bring a humble heart to the moment. And you've got to be speaking to your spouse for the right reasons. Again, what do you want? For the right reasons, a humble man or woman is a patient man or woman.
Right.
And what that means is that you assume the best about your spouse. So often when we just blurt something out and we just throw words out there,
right,
it's because we jumped and just said, oh my word. You ever feel this way with me at all? Way back in
the past,
I'm sure, back in the trailer. It doesn't happen now,
does it?
Yeah, it
happened recently.
Does it happen now?
It still does.
Oh, dear me.
I remember we were recently in, first of all, Brad usually travels, what, probably 90% of the time without me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
in a given year, I might
to his
go
credit
12 to 14 times and do a conference, but
right.
she might be with me once or twice.
Right. So he usually does not travel with me. So I've just kind of had to learn. He like just barrels ahead like 12 feet in front of me. And he's just like going to the next gate or whatever. So we were in Atlanta.
I forget that I've got the sweet wife with me.
He forgets. And now that our marriage is better, I just assume the best. He forgets that I'm with him. I don't take it personally. But we were in the Atlanta airport. We were flying home to Cincinnati. And so I had this pink bag that was is considered my carry-on that I travel with. It might have my teaching notes. It has, you know, a toothbrush, some snacks. Nothing life-shattering.
What kind of snacks, babe?
Like almonds and some dark chocolate.
Sometimes M&Ms, right?
Some cherries, sometimes M&Ms.
Yeah.
So anyway.
She's so precious. She has a little bag of M&Ms. They'll just be opened and they'll just be, the little wrapper will be wound up. And when she opens, she might take two little M&Ms.
Trying to be self-controlled here. Not always. But anyway, so I had said, hey, I'm going to run to the bathroom. Will you please watch my pink bag? And this is very important to me because my daughter, Lauren.
As I recall this, I do now remember her saying that.
Yes. So my daughter, Lauren, was in a restaurant and someone unzipped her backpack. It was on the back of her chair, which I used to have a really cute backpack. Got rid of it. But for this reason, they stole her identity. And within like 30 minutes, they'd spent like $15,000 on her credit card. It was an organized theft ring in St. Louis. And it was the biggest nightmare because she wasn't in the county that she lived in and no one wanted to help her with it. They eventually got a driver's license with this woman's picture, but had her name, her address. They even got her social security card with their name on it. So anyway, all that's, I don't leave my
purse
anywhere.
This is like a made for television documentary.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't leave my purse. If it's at your funeral, I will not leave. I mean, it's my purse is always with me. I don't leave it at church. I never leave it. So this is all what's going on
but
my mind.
But you left it with me?
I did. Yes, that was frightening. So I just said, I'm going to the bathroom. Hey, can you watch my bag? He said, yes. So I'm like, okay, we're good to go. So I come back from the bathroom and there's my pink bag.
And make
bag.
Your way over to the gate area where we'd both
right.
been sitting.
And my pink bag is just sitting there all alone. And literally the first thought in my mind is, oh, he must have had a medical emergency. Like, or did he have to go to the bathroom? Did he have a heart attack and they whisked him away and they didn't know that he had a wife with him? And I mean, my bag's just sitting there, just right there out in the open for anyone to come, take, steal, put a bomb in. I don't know. And so I just thought, so I start looking and I look and there he is. He's standing in line ready to board the airplane. And I'm like, I went up to him. First, I went and got my bag. And I went up to him and said, well, first, my first response was, what in the world? Does he not care about my stuff? And
so I thought, did you have initial ugly thoughts?
Yes, I did.
Ooh.
I thought, is he an idiot? He just left my bag here. We're not supposed to call each other idiots. So I thought, okay, let me just try to assume the best. He loves me. He's not used to traveling with me. He's so focused. This is a very focused man I'm married to. He's just wanting to get on that plane. And so I went up to him and said, hello, my bag.
And I just said, they called my zone.
What's his answer? They called my zone.
I mean, I'm like Pavlov's dog.
He is. Yeah.
It can be
it's
a blessing and it can be a curse. I am so regimented, so automatic, so disciplined.
Do the next thing.
But I really, you know, we're laughing, but I really do appreciate that she was willing to actually believe
that there had been a medical emergency.
No, well, he was not. I mean, I got to be honestly, I did not think about her purse. I did not remember she said it sitting there. I did not remember, even though it had just only been 5 minutes ago that I said, sure, I'll stay here. It was like when they called the little speaker, now beginning to board flight 370 when they called my zone, because as I travel, I'm always like, I got to get in line.
Oh, he's always the first.
Because I've actually learned,
even
if you do have a decent seat, and I do, if tons of people
not
get on before you, someone else
class.
Will have put their overhead in your overhead space. So you get to 10B and the space overhead for 10B, there's
it's
so
true.
Much stuff in it
it's
already.
Because
they'll
a big
stick
bag.
It there and then go on further back. And I've learned you gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get in line because you will not have a place to put
towards
your
me. My little pink
roller
bag.
Bag's
just gonna go right under the sink. So under the
and
seat.
So I do appreciate she did say, honey, what were you thinking? Why did you leave your
are you
my
clueless?
Bag?
Is what I was thinking.
And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. No, actually, I said, they called my zone.
Yeah, that's what he said. I was like, okay.
And but then I did say, but it's like she was willing, because think about it. Communication is at the heart of a marriage, and love is what keeps a marriage alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so without the oxygen of love, your marriage will just begin to die.
And I think since our marriage is in a better place, that verse in 1 Corinthians 13, yep. Love assumes the best.
Because when I say love is what keeps your marriage alive, mm-hmm. I don't just mean a feeling.
Right.
She did not have a loving feeling in that moment.
No,
so here's what we want you to understand if you're listening. Love is a choice. It is not always a feeling. So what she actually did was chose to love because 1 Corinthians 13 says love thinks no evil, assumes the best.
Right.
Now, she didn't assume the best immediately.
No, I didn't. It took a while to get
that's
there.
That's fine.
Yes.
We're not expecting to always get it right immediately.
Right.
But notice her story. She had a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, all right. And then when she approached me and I just said, they called my zone. I just jumped, grabbed my bag, wasn't even thinking.
And that's so how he is. I knew that. I thought he's being truthful.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're digging into what it looks like to communicate in a way that would keep love alive. Oh, if you don't want love to die, it matters how you talk to each other, and it matters what you're thinking and wanting as you talk. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about talking some more.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment, teaching about communication in marriage. This is, of course, every single person that is listening to this podcast that is married needs to listen to. Because most fights in marriage, I can attest to this, start because we assume the worst about our spouse instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt. Fortis Plus helps with this stuff every single day. Fortis Plus is full of hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of audio and video content that you can listen to, and it helps you check your heart in whatever you might be going through, and it's absolutely free because, you know, look, marriage is hard enough without paying extra for basic wisdom, right? That's what we believe around here, so download it when you need help remembering that your spouse probably is not trying to ruin your life on purpose. So, what do? You download Fortis Plus right now and explore all of the content so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, how do you download it? Simple. Go to where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, let me tell you why it's free, because that's a very, very important part of why we do what we do. Men and women just like you, people who we call gospel partners, they are the ones that help us make this available to you for free. They believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much, they've committed themselves to standing with our ministry arm in arm, and we are eternally grateful for each and every gospel partner we have. And if that is you, if you have been helped by the content we're producing, and you might possibly be able to stand with us, let me give you a couple of prerequisites. Really, basically one. And that is to make sure that you're giving to your local church first. As a Christian, that is your number one funding priority. Don't give to our ministry or any other ministry if you're not faithfully giving to your local church. You need to get that area of your life taken care of first and foremost. And if you have that area of your life taken care of, and you do have a margin where you could possibly join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, then hey, we would be honored to link arms with you. That is when I will direct you to fortisinstitute.org, because there you'll find answers to every question you have about what it would possibly look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner. So make sure your priorities are with your local church first and foremost. And if that is true and you want to join us as a gospel partner, head over to fortisinstitute.org. But right now, let's get back to Brad and Vicki as they continue to talk about communication in marriage. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're digging into what does it look like to communicate effectively? And by effectively, we mean in a way that doesn't just continually tear each other down and cause new hurt and additional confusion. I hope you realize if you've lived long life any length of time, communication is not automatically easy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've led a large team at church now. They're all Christians. They all love Jesus. They chose to work at a church. Guess what? Whoo! Staying on the same page and being a team is not automatic. It takes time. It takes lots of effort for us to communicate effectively. Your marriage is no different. Just because you chose each other, just because you started off loving each other, wow, does not mean it will be automatic. And so we're beginning to unpack and say, what are the key foundational components of communication in your marriage? We started with, it matters what your goal is and what you want. Your goal needs to be please God. Before we took a break, we talked about, oh, you've got to be humble and be willing to assume the best and not just jump in with your words. And let me give you a third component. You need to be aware. I was not aware earlier in life, and I certainly wasn't thinking about it in the first part of our marriage, that you and I will be accountable to God for everything we communicate. Whew, mm-hmm. That's kind of sobering, isn't it, Vicki?
Very. Every time I think of that, it's like, wow, everything?
Because
like,
we can be so guilty. Here's how it sounds. Well, all I said was, and so often I think if we could be more aware of words mm-hmm. are weighty. We traffic in words and we have a stewardship of words. He's made us word creatures, but guess what? We're accountable to him. It's almost like think in terms of every day when you wake up, he's given you this component, this box of words. He's given you the ability to communicate. And now he says, do this well.
Right.
I gave you this. This is a reflection of me. I'm a God of words. I communicate. You're created in my image, but I want you to do it like I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a stewardship and an accountability of words. I mean, how different would it be if you were more aware of God hears every word you and I say to each other?
Yeah. And I think there's biblical and unbiblical ways. I mean, obviously, we know that. But I just think of, you know, we could say something like, I feel hurt when the plans change at the last minute. Can we talk about that? Or I miss you. Can we spend time together? Versus something that I didn't know early in our marriage. I was often like, I didn't do this, but I would say like, here's some ways that are not good to communicate, like whatever, I don't care. Or the silent treatment when upset, I was guilty of that. Or expecting your partner to just know what's wrong. That was something I did early in marriage. It really was so unfair to you because I just expected you to know. Well, you know what? They don't know. They don't know. And then I think when you pull away and manipulate and give the silent treatment.
You were guilty of not using the words God had given you.
Right.
You're accountable for how you use them.
Right.
But he's called you to use them.
So giving the silent treatment, walking away, that's just not acceptable as a believer.
Yeah.
Because that isn't pleasing to God. And we're going to give account to that for that.
Because he, especially if you're listening and you're a woman, hear me. Guys do not. We do not. And Vicki's finally started to believe me. I know God made us so different. Sometimes you're like, how could you not know?
Right.
We don't.
That, yeah.
We really don't. So the gift of words is that we should use them. And so do not think, oh, he should know this. And,
right.
and he's going to figure this out. And I hope he should. And if he really loved me, he would. And if he cared, he would.
And that's also just, you're just setting your partner up, your spouse up for failure. There's no way they can read your mind. And I think take it a step further. There's the silent treatment. There's walking away or expecting your partner to know. But I think there's also, it reminds me of Ephesians 4:29, where it says, this is the Amplified because I like lots of words.
Nice.
Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you, what you speak. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him. There's that again. By whom you were sealed and marked, branded as God's own for the day of redemption. So I think taking
seek
it a next
to please him.
Right. And taking it a step further, there just should not be foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words coming up. We should not treat our spouse that way. As believers, this is not, we know Christ, His Holy Spirit lives within us.
And I think we tend to have categories where we're like, but now, you don't understand, but now.
Right. It justifies my behavior. It doesn't.
There's nowhere in Scripture that it gives us a list of exceptions where if this is happening now, you can use foul, profane, harsh, vulgar. And I know we live in a day where more and more in the culture, in the workplace, more and more, it's just become common.
Yeah.
There's no big deal to use the F word, to use, I don't want to say all the words that are happening out there, but I go to a real gym with real people. So I hear it.
Right.
And I'm out in the marketplace. But if that has crept into your home and you've begun to say, oh, no big deal. There's going to be these times. That's how I get his attention, or that's how I get her attention, or that's how I notice what's going on. It's how I get what I'm wanting in this moment. Whew.
And I think you're just being used as a tool of Satan to drive a bigger wedge in your marriage. Because those things you don't just quickly bounce back from.
And if you were honest,
that's going on.
I doubt you can look back at any interactions you've had and said, wow, that really worked.
Great point. Yeah.
That resolved it. That really put us on the same page. If you were to be honest, probably all you could say is, that got him to shut up. That got her to stop talking. But see, notice it's a different goal. I just want you to stop talking, or I just want to be proven right.
Or I want to be heard and my point.
Yeah.
I want it to come across loud and clear.
That's very different than resolving something and pleasing God and moving forward. Notice the key, moving forward together. Let me ask you to think, have you ever felt closer after one of those kind of interactions?
That's
and
a great
like,
point,
oh, now
yeah.
we're on the same team. I feel like we're really, when Vicky and I choose to sit down and try to work out something, it is not easy sometimes.
No.
Lots of words have to be used. We're going to dig into a few more components. Lots of listening, asking questions, not jumping to conclusions. But it, wouldn't you agree, honey? It feels so good.
Right.
When it's resolved.
Yes.
When you use vulgar, harsh, profane, you've started attacking the person, not dealing with the problem. It doesn't end feeling good. It ends.
Right.
And if all you wanted was for it for end,
to explode,
for it to end, well, yay, you got it. But this did not help your relationship, and it is not going to cause your marriage to thrive.
Right.
So hear it. Matthew 12:36, very sobering verse. But I tell you, and guess who's speaking? Jesus, your Savior. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. Like, wow, an accountability on words. Because, oh, dear me, in any given day, do we not use so many words? And we're going to give an account because words are weighty. Because think about how many proverbs say words can give life and words can cause death.
Right.
Words can be like a blessing and a healing, and words can be like the thrusting of a sword.
I think there's one that says life and death are in the power of the tongue. I mean, that's
life and
powerful.
Death are in the power of the tongue because, words matter. And when you walk away from that encounter with your spouse, very often you can't undo what was just said. You can hope that they might choose to not dwell on that.
And you can choose to ask their forgiveness
and
try to move on. But those words are out there. They're going to, unfortunately, probably remember those.
To be willing to reconcile and humble yourself and ask for forgiveness is great. What we're kind of trying to help you with that we've tried to get to.
Back it up.
It would have been even better if that whole scenario had not happened.
Exactly.
And so we are trying to, when we blow it, say, you know what? I was wrong. I sinned against you when I, and
then
say what it was, will you forgive me? But what's even better is that those incidents would not happen so often.
Or it happened less and less.
Less and less that you're just like, you know what? I don't think I need to say that. It doesn't match pleasing God right now. It's something that I want that isn't the right goal. I think I'm feeling pretty prideful right now. And
I'm going to be accountable to
I'm
God.
I'm going to be accountable. For God. Words matter. Sometimes we think about it so often with our gifts. Oh, he gave me certain gifts and I'm accountable. Oh, he gave us a certain amount of money and I'm accountable for how I used that. And did I bless others?
Yeah, we don't hear about this as
much. But add this to your thinking every day. The words I use or don't use, as Vicky touched on, he's given us words and we're accountable to use them for his glory. And this might move you in a new direction, that instead of your marriage feeling continually like it's just dying, it could begin to revive and thrive if you became more careful with words.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.